Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you will come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson brought to us by Paul Owen.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning and you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, we must give more and earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will.
It is a wonderful Lord's Day morning and good to see all of you here today. A lady wrote, "After a meeting, I was coming out of a hotel and was looking for my car keys. They were not in my pockets. A quick search in the meeting room wasn't there either. Suddenly I realized I must have left them in the car. My husband has fussed at me many times for leaving the keys in the ignition. My theory is the ignition is the best place not to lose them. His theory is the car will be stolen. Immediately I rushed to the parking lot. I came to a terrifying conclusion. His theory was right. The parking lot was empty. I immediately called the police, gave them my location, my car number, and description of the place where I had parked, etc. I equally confessed that I have left my keys in the car and that it had been stolen. Then I made the most difficult call of all to my husband. Honey, I stammered. I always call him honey in times like these. I left my keys in the car and it has been stolen. There was a period of silence. I thought that the call had been dropped, but then I heard his voice. Dear, I dropped you off at the hotel. Now it was my time to be silent. Embarrassed, I said, will you come and get me? He says, I will, as soon as I manage to convince the policeman that I have not stolen your car. Now, all of us have had moments of forgetfulness, haven't we? And it seems to happen to us more and more as we get older. Maybe all of a sudden we cannot recall the name of someone we have known for years. Has that ever happened to you? Or maybe you come out of the store and you look over the parking lot and you realize you have absolutely no idea where your car is. I mean, not even on this side or that. You just don't know. And so you take the clicker out and you say, well, maybe I can flash the lights or maybe the horn will sound so, I know where it is. Maybe it is that you have forgotten a very important anniversary or birthday of a loved one. And perhaps your own birthday, to that matter. It happens, doesn't it? Forgetfulness. But that's not a big deal, is it? It just happens in life. But I want to tell you today that there is a kind of forgetfulness that is incredibly dangerous and disastrous to our souls. Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. As we look in on the Israelites today in this text, we will discover that they have a terrible case of memory lapse and forgetfulness. Moses has gone up the mountain to meet with God. He has been gone for nearly 6 weeks. The people at first were a bit impatient. Then they begin to worry. Where is Moses? What has become of him? Is he dead? Did he leave us? Where is he? And you don't have to read in between the lines to figure out that they were wondering that even about God. Had God left them? So they began to panic. And to say that they made the wrong choice and a bad decision would not be saying enough. Verse 1 says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make gods that shall go before us.' And Aaron, instead of encouraging the people to be faithful, he made this golden image, and the people begin to bring sacrifices, and they begin to worship this image of the calf." Can you imagine them worshiping an image of a calf instead of the living Almighty God? I mean, isn't it hard to believe and imagine that they had forgotten God, the one who had redeemed them from Egypt in such a dramatic fashion? All of the miracles surrounding the 10 plagues, the powerful experience of walking through the Red Sea with walls of water on either side, water coming from the rock when they were thirsty, manna that fell every morning. And just a few days prior to this, standing at this very mountain with the mountain shaking, the trumpet blowing, fire descending upon the mountain, they were so afraid and scared. They said, "Moses, don't let God speak to us, lest we die. You speak to God and you tell us what he said." Can you imagine that they forgot God? Yet it happened. And so the question for us today is, how can we keep this from happening to us? What are the times in your life and mine that we are most prone and vulnerable to this kind of a spiritual attack? What are the consequences of forgetting God? And what are some practical steps that you and I can take from slipping into this spiritual sickness? Well, I've got some ways that I have been thinking about that where this can occur in your life and mine. And first of all, when things in life seem to stall. When things in life seem to stall. So the people were impatient to get to the promised land. They were impatient maybe to get the law that Moses had gone up to receive. They were impatient to see and hear from Moses. And in their impatience, what they did is they reacted instead of trusted. In verse 1, you see that when they saw Moses delay. Did you see that? When they saw, you might underline that little verb. In other words, they were walking by sight and not by faith. It was all about the present. That was their problem. They had forgotten the faithful God who had taken care of them in the past. And they drew all the wrong conclusions and took a foolish action. And sometimes when you and I face the delays of life, sometimes we can draw the wrong conclusions and do the wrong things. Maybe we've been praying for something in our personal life for a long time, over and over and over, consistently, and nothing seems to happen. And then maybe we conclude one day, well, maybe God is not able or capable. Maybe we have a nagging temptation that just won't leave us alone. And so in our frustrations, we give into it and we sin. Maybe we have been diagnosed with a chronic illness and days turn into weeks and months and years. And the dial of pain continues to increase. And we say, "God, have you left me?" But not only when we face the stalls and delays of life, but also when we face pressure in life. And we all face pressure. Can you imagine being Aaron? I mean, Aaron is looking at this angry mob, this angry crowd. And I tell you what, they want answers. And Aaron doesn't have any answers. And so they begin to pressure him. "Aaron, when is Moses coming back down? We're tired of being camped around this mountain. We've been here for nearly 6 weeks. We're growing restless. When is Moses coming back down?" "I don't know." "Aren't you his spokesman?" "Yes." "When is he coming back down?" "I don't know. Maybe early next week. That's what you said last week." And so they begin to pressure Aaron. And so what Aaron does, Aaron figures out his mind. He reasons like this: "The only way I am going to quieten this crowd is to give them what they want." And Aaron caves in to their pressure. And he does a very, very foolish thing. he turns away from the Lord. And that happens today, doesn't it? A young person may be pressured by his or her friends, and they engage in sinful behavior. It may be that an employee gets pressured by a boss to do something very illegal, or an adult who is pressured by society to accumulate many material things that they can't pay for, or a child is pressured by his parents, and so he tells a lie to avoid the consequences. You see, sometimes we, like Aaron, when we're put into the pressure cooker, sometimes what we do is we seek relief of that pressure without considering the consequences of our actions. And when we willfully sin, when we play with sin, when we rationalize our sin, you remember the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear disaster. You recall that there were two electrical engineers in the control room that night, and what they were doing is they were playing around. They were performing what the Soviets later said was an unauthorized experiment. What they were trying to do is trying to find out how long the turbine would freewheel when they took the power off of it. And to take the power off a nuclear reactor is a very dangerous thing to do because they're very unstable, the reactors are, and they're lower ranges. And so, in order to get the power down that way, they had to manually override 6 computers warnings that says, stop, don't go any further, dangerous. And one by one, rather than ending their experiment, they shut these alarms off. And you and I know the result of that is nuclear fallout was recorded over this entire globe, from the largest industrial accident to ever occur in the world. And my brothers and sisters, when you and I rationalize our sin, try to hide our sin, try to play with sin, we do exactly what those two engineers were doing. We trying to ignore and shut off God's alarm. And let me tell you something, when you do that long enough, guess what? You don't hear the alarm anymore. As Paul would say in 1 Timothy 4, our consciences are like they're seared with a hot iron. It's like Paul said in Ephesians 4, that we get past feeling. And so that's a terrible thing to do. And so the result for you and I is spiritual disaster. And so look what happened to them. They decided one day, you know what? Moses isn't coming back. We don't know where God is, so we're gonna have Aaron make gods for us to go before us. No big deal. And that escalated into a party, which escalated to all kind of wild and wicked and sordid behavior. They decide to play with sin. And next, this spiritual forgetfulness can happen when things are going really good, when things are going great. And a lot of times we don't say, well, Paul, what do you mean? Is there danger in things going good? I thought that was a good thing. Well, sometimes when things are going very great, you and I have a propensity and tendency to say, well, you know what? I did this. I feel rather self-sufficient right now. I mean, I'm going to lean on my own methods, my own strength. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to look at my abilities instead of God's abilities. And so sometimes abundance, listen to me, abundance can be the devil's greatest tool against us. Now we know that blessings of God, all this abundance is the blessings of God, and that's good. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, he said, God has richly given us all things to enjoy, but the devil can use it against us to pull us away from God. I've heard one of our elders, Kerry Waddell, pray over the years and talk about, you know, Lord, thank you so much for the abundance that we have in this country, but I pray, Lord, that this abundance never pulls us away from you and turns us against you. Well, Moses thought that too. You know, he knew that the Israelites were in that desert and there was a lot of burdens to bear every day, but he wasn't concerned about the burdens. He was concerned about the blessings. For he wrote in Deuteronomy 6:10-12, for this generation who would be going into the promised land, He says this, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord." So my friends, we must guard our hearts and the peaks of life as well as the valleys of life. And next, we are vulnerable to this spiritual forgetfulness when we get into a state where we're kind of lackadaisical in our faith. We kind of get spiritually lazy, if you will. It's common knowledge that a muscle that is not used will weaken. It will grow smaller, and we call it atrophy. That's what happens. Well, what happened when Moses went up the mountain? The people, what they did is they began to drift from their devotion to God day by day, week by week. And the same thing can happen to you and I. You know, here at West Huntsville, you may be regarded as a very respectful member of the church here. I mean, people look at you and say, well, they're real involved. I mean, this person, they're real mature. They're faithful. And so we say to ourselves one day, we say, well, you know what? It won't hurt all that bad if I skip reading the Word of God today or maybe this week. I'm okay. I know that my prayer life is a little weak, but you know what? I'm still on good terms with God. It's okay. Yeah, I know the value of worship. But you know, I don't think it's going to hurt that much if I miss a week, maybe two. I mean, when I go on vacation that I skip, it's not going to hurt. And you know what's happening? You know what's happening? Day by day, we begin to drift slowly away from God. We cannot perceive it. Sometimes others can. And so that's what happens sometimes if we get lazy in our faith. So what are the consequences? What are the consequences of forgetting God like these Israelites? Well, the first of all is separation. I want you to compare a couple of verses. This is the way God felt about Israel back in chapter 19, verse 4. He says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." So there God says, look, you're my people. You're my children. I love you. I'm going to nurture you. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be in my provision and my blessing. And now I want you to look at chapter 32, verse 7. "And the Lord said to Moses, go, get down, for your people..." Oh, he didn't call them my people, did he? He said, "Moses, your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." You know, back in Isaiah's day, people were living like they wanted to. They were rebelling against God, living wickedly. And they were praying, and they said, well, we're praying, but nothing's happened. They said, Isaiah, we've got it all figured out. We believe God has lost his powers. He doesn't have any power anymore. Or something's wrong with his hearing. I mean, we're praying, and he's not listening to us. I think he's gone deaf. And then Isaiah responded to them in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. He said, look, God's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities, here it is, have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you. So the people's sin and forgetting God built a barrier between them and God. Look, when we walk away from God, we are walking away from our own life and our joy and our strength and the blessing and our peace. To walk away from God is trying to live life without oxygen. It's a bad idea. I want you to understand that they went from a place of being recipients of God's love and blessing to the crosshairs of his wrath. Not a good place to be, is it? So there's separation, but What followed that was painful discipline. Verse 19 of our text today. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which he had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water, and he made the children of Israel drink it. Verse 25. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood at the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all of the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put on the sword on his side and go in out from the entrance to the entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and 3,000 men of the people fell that day. You can understand Moses' anger, can't you? He goes up to the mountain to get guidance for these people. And while he's up there, they begin to worship something created by their own hands. How foolish, how shameful, how sinful. And so God says, "Leave me alone, Moses. I am going to consume them." And so Moses begins to plead on the people's behalf that God would not destroy them. So Moses comes down the mountains, and so he takes these tablets, these precious tablets written by the very hand of God, and he throws them, and they're broken. And I think that's just a reminder of the way that the Israelites had already broken their promises with God. And then Moses takes this golden calf, and he burns it, and he grinds it up, and he scatters it on the water, and he makes them drink of it. I think he wanted them to realize how foolish it was to worship a God that they are now consuming. They were robbing the Almighty God of the rightful place in their life. The rebellion, it was deep. It went out like a malaise over the people. And so the action had to be drastic. And so those who were still loyal to the Lord went out and they killed 3,000 that day. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't end there, because if you read in verse 35, what you will discover is this. God sent a plague among the people. We don't know what kind of plague it was, but 1 Corinthians 10:7 says, "Do not become idolaters of some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And one day 23,000 fell." Now, if Paul is referring to Exodus chapter 32 here, it says that 23,000 people died. We are not told how many that did not die that wish they had. What's that tell us? Our brothers and sisters, it tells us that sin is serious business before God. How desperately we need to keep a short tether in our relationship with God. We desperately need to stay close to Him. So, what are some things that you and I need to remember as we leave this passage today? What are some things that you and I can do to help us to stay away from this terrible sin of forgetting God? Well, first of all, we need to be on guard. Be on guard. And so the first thing we need to do is recognize our tendency to drift. You heard what Sam read to us today. He said, let's pay much closer attention, Hebrews 2:1, to what we have heard. What did he say? Lest we drift away. When we are impatient by the delays of life, when we are pressured by people or by circumstances in life, when we are trying to hide or justify and play with sin, when things are going great for us, when we become spiritually lazy, we need to beware of our own weakness. Know what your weakness is. That is the first line of defense. And then secondly, come often to the Word of God. What the Word of God does in your life and my life is it gives us perspective. It is the way we renew our minds. Romans 12, 2 Corinthians 4. It reminds us of God's standards, God's commandments, God's truth. Do you set aside a time each and every day to study God's holy Word? To renew your mind? To focus on Him. I hope that you do. If you'll do it the same time every day and the same place every day, it will help you. And then take out a pen or maybe your tablet or a computer and write down take some notes on some things that you have read and maybe memorize a section of passage or a verse out of the reading of that day. Hide God's truth in your heart. And then regular worship. And when I say regular worship, that means our personal worship and the worship we do here every Lord's Day. What it does is worship brings us back to the throne of God. It reminds us of who we are, where we've been, and where we're going. And that we're not alone in this pilgrimage. Regular worship. Look, the people that forget to do these things that we're talking about, they just, you know what they do their whole life? They just go over the same ground over and over and over. They never grow. They never learn. And then find somebody that will tell you the truth. Find somebody who will look you in the eye and that has your permission to tell you what you don't want to hear, but what you need to hear. It's accountability. We need it in our lives. If it's not your spouse, it needs to be somebody of the same gender, someone who is available, someone who is Christ-like in their life, someone who is not intimidated by you, someone who has the courage to tell you what you need to hear about your life and where it's going. And then lastly, personal growth. We need to develop a hunger for God. We are to be content with what we have materially. We are to never be content with where we are spiritually. So make sure that each day that we have a thirst to drink in the knowledge of God into our hearts each and every day. Make sure that you and I don't say, you know what? Well, I'm better than so-and-so. Don't compare yourself to another person. You make your comparison. You make your standard Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, as we go through life, and life gets busier and more hectic as we get a little older and don't have as many brain cells as we used to, you know what happens? We forget. We forget things. And sometimes we get frustrated and we say, I just wish I could remember that. That's okay. That's just a part of life. But as we grow older, we need to make sure that we do everything we can to combat spiritual memory loss. So today, we extend the Lord's invitation to you. If there's a way in which we can help you, we want to today. It may be that you examine your life today and you say, you know what, I have drifted. I look where I am now to where I was 6 months ago and a year ago. I'm not in the same place. You know, when my wife and I married, you might say, you know, we were really on fire for the Lord and we did this and we were involved and we really studied our Bibles, but As I reflect on my life these last few years, she still does those things, but maybe I don't. So maybe you need to go home and kneel by your bed and say, Lord, I've got some things to tell you. You know them already, but I've got some things to say. I need to be restored. Or it could be that you're not a Christian today. You remember what Ananias told Paul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you need to do that today, will you stand as we sing?
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen. If you have comments or questions, Paul can be reached by email at owen@westhuntsville.org.